Our son John was baptized when he was 2 months old at the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine in New York City, the Episcopal Cathedral there. And he wore a handmade white christening gown that my mother-in-law had given him. And he slept peacefully while the priest took him from my arms and baptized him and anointed him and handed him back. He didn't even open his eyes. Will and I were thrilled and overwhelmed at being new parents. And my heart was just full watching our families come together to witness and bless this holy sacrament. It was a beautiful morning. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit surround my tiny son, and I cried pretty much the whole time during the service. And then in the taxi, on the way to a restaurant for a festive lunch with family and our priest, John had the most dramatic diaper explosion of his entire young life. The intestinal lava flowed all the way up to his neck and all the way down to his feet, leaving his linen gown soaked and unwearable. So all the pictures of that day show him in a plain white cotton onesie, the only other thing I had in the diaper bag. And I'm reminded that the most sublime experiences in life take place in the muck and imperfection of being fully human. Our gospel today, the account of Jesus' baptism by John, is a story of identity. It establishes who Jesus is to God and to his disciples, and it also grounds our selfhood in the symbols and the meaning of baptism. All four Gospels recount Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, and though there are minor differences, each one says that after Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and a heavenly voice proclaims, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Some translations read, "This is my Beloved Son." But the original Greek text is clear that beloved does not modify son. God names Jesus twice. This is the beloved, and this is my son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the beloved. The beloved is Jesus's identity from the very beginning, when the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwells among us full of grace and truth and familiar with the muck and imperfection of being fully human. That's what we celebrated at Christmas 2 weeks ago. Baptism is the first great sacrament of the church, a liturgical affirmation that we are also children of God, heirs by adoption, St. Paul says, and that we share in Christ's relationship with God. August and Sylvan, two brothers who were baptized at the 9 o'clock service, 3 years old and 7 months old, they felt the water poured over their heads in the name of the triune God, and the fragrant oil anointing their foreheads, signifying the descent of the Holy Spirit on them and marking them as Christ's own forever. Of course, every person is beloved by God from the moment of their being. Baptism doesn't make that happen. It is already true. But baptism makes this identity as the beloved visible and audible and touchable. And so the two children this morning, they followed the pattern, the same pattern of Jesus's early life: birth and naming, visitation by the Magi, and then baptism. you might think that Jesus and his parents were the only ones who received wise men bearing gifts. But consider all the neighbors and family and friends who show up when a baby is born, bringing food and diapers and extra arms for rocking. Magi are everywhere. So baptism is about identity. It tells us who we are, children of God and God's beloved, a member of the body of Christ, and a member of a particular faith community. Baptism is also about how we are to live. And we hear that, of course, in the baptismal covenant. But today's gospel from Matthew has a unique story in it that's not in the other gospels. And I think it goes straight to the heart of what it means to live into our baptismal covenant. And so I want to talk about that for just a moment. You'll remember, when Deacon Emily read it, that when Jesus goes to John to be baptized, John resists. I'm the one who should baptize you. But Jesus says, let it be that you baptize me. It is proper to fulfill righteousness. And so John agrees. So what just happened there? I mean, what is that about? And I think we need to look at the meaning of righteousness. It comes from the Jewish tradition, referring to a way of living that is desired and deemed right by God. And when the Old Testament prophets exhort the Israelites to righteous living, they speak particularly of justice and mercy and humility. Justice as equity and dignity and freedom for all, and mercy as compassion and care, not only for those who suffer, but for those who have lost their way. And humility as full recognition of our equality and our interconnection. So that's the backdrop for righteousness. When Jesus comes to John for baptism, the reason John is taken aback is because he and everyone else knows that Jesus' wisdom and knowledge of God far surpasses theirs. How can he possibly be the one to take the inferior position? But maybe that's exactly the thinking that Jesus wants to refute. The idea that worthiness is correlated with education or power or status. When Jesus insists that John baptize him, and later when he insists that he wash Peter's feet at the Last Supper, he is showing that worthiness is not derived from earthly assessments of superiority or cultural hierarchies, but from one's essential identity as God's beloved. And as Jesus takes his place among the people waiting to be baptized by John, he is embracing his full humanity and standing in solidarity with those who have been wounded by the cruelties of this world and who long for a new beginning. When Jesus asks John to baptize him, he is affirming that every person, no matter their power or their wisdom, has spiritual gifts to share and can be the means of God's grace in their own lives and communicating it to others. And that means there's a holy mutuality here. Jesus can't take on his ministry without John's baptism, and John can't baptize him unless Jesus assures him it is right. Such mutuality is faithful to God's desires for this world. It is righteousness. So today, as you reaffirm your baptismal covenant and remember your own baptism, may you claim your own identity as God's beloved, even in the muck and imperfection of full humanity. And may you know your birthright of worthiness and actively and daily honor that same birthright in others. Amen.